In the Hawke's Bay, homelessness has dramatically increased over the past few years, and there are large waiting lists for social housing. Like many areas throughout Aotearoa, there is simply not enough affordable housing to meet demand, and reports of overcrowding and families living in cars have increased. The kaupapa of Te Whare Huakina, funded by the Ministry of Social Development, is to provide emergency housing in the Hawke's Bay area.
This is one of our typical transitional homes provided for whānau. So we're just walking into the front of the property. It's got a wee space in the front, a grass area. And then we're going to go into the front door and straight into the kitchen area. Of course, we have an oven. We have a pantry, a fridge, and we've got all the amenities that you need in the kitchen itself. So we've got all the crockery that you need, whānau need. We've got all the utensils whānau need. We've got oven trays. We've got toaster. We've got the jug. We've got pots. We've got pans. So when whānau come into the transitional home, the kitchen's all set to go for them. And so you've got a back door entrance as well. And in our back door entrance, we've also got safety. So we've got a fence right around the property, this particular property, so that we can safely have children here. We've got some fruit trees and, of course, the lion outside. Then we have the amenities, got the toilet. We have a bathroom, so we have a shower. Most of the properties have a shower and a bath, because we allow for children, of course, and sometimes they're under one, or where they need a bath to be used. And in this particular house, we've got two bedrooms, so the bedrooms are already set up with the beds. So we've got pretty much all the amenities that a whānau would need moving into a home. It's all set up with everything, including the washing machine. And we have everything that you would need, like mops and brooms. And so our tenancy manager would go through and make sure that all that's ticked off, the list that they need when they come into home, including all your blankets, your linen, your towels. It's all here. So the whānau are in here for 90 days, and they sign their tenancy for 30 days at a time. And so within that period, our tenancy manager comes in and does inspection with the property and renews the tenancy over that 90-day period.
Tēnā koutou katoa. No mai haere mai ki te Indigenous Urbanism, Aotearoa Edition, Episode 16. I'm your host, Jay Kake, and this is Indigenous Urbanism. Stories about the spaces we inhabit and the community drivers and practitioners who are shaping those environments and decolonising through design. On this episode of Indigenous Urbanism, we visit Te Tai Whenua o Here Taonga to learn more about their emergency housing programs delivered through an innovative partnership with Emerge Aotearoa. We met up with Joe Hoira and Chris Paku from Emerge Aotearoa at one of Te Whare Huakina's emergency houses in Napier. Joe is the team leader for the emergency housing team within Emerge Aotearoa, and Chris is one of the navigators within her team.
Ko Joe Hoira taku ingoa. Ko Rangitāne me te Ati Haunui a Paparangi Oku Iwi. I'm the team leader for Emerge Aotearoa, for the emergency housing team based in Hastings, and we work collaboratively with Te Tai Whenua o Here Taonga.
Ko Chris Paku toku ingoa. I work for Emerge Aotearoa as well as a navigator, and part of my role is to help our whānau in our area to find sustainable housing.
Te Whare Huakina came about through, I guess, looking at the strengths that both organisations have and coming to an understanding that we both offer different strengths, and that's how we pretty much based ourselves together. But it works. It works really, really well. The team themselves from Emerge Aotearoa's side and our team, I can speak for our team, it's pretty awesome to be working inside of a kaupapa Māori service and supporting whānau in our community to find long-term sustainable housing. We are one team, so we provide the emergency housing service together. So it's pretty awesome, actually. We're unique in the whole of the country. I believe we're the only service that runs that way with two NGOs working side by side. my main role, I guess, is to make sure the service is running okay. The other thing is to, more importantly, is to support my navigators that are out working out in the field. That might be in terms of making sure they've got the resources they need, training, whether they need upskilling or sending them away to our training, or running the mechanics at the base, really. So, yeah. But I must say I have an awesome team that are out there working in the Hawke's Bay. They work fairly independently and they are passionate for the kaupapa. And so am I. I've worked quite a while, a few years working with clients, and so I love to see them doing well, especially whānau.
As a navigator for Emerge Aotearoa, that's a role that I take really seriously, and using a lot of my background and the experience that I've had over the last 10 to 15 years to see how I can help our people that are in the motels or in the transitional homes that we have, to help them to look for sustainable homes, a sustainable home. And part of that service that we have is also helping them to identify other wraparound services that we can introduce them to if they haven't been introduced to in the past. For example, we have a ready-to-rent program that runs at the Tai Whenua and also in Napier. And we also have Money Mates, which is a part of the Hawke's Bay budgeting service. So all these little factors really play an important part to our family's lives. So yeah, that's what I do as a navigator here in Hawke's Bay, along with the other two navigators, Kate and Lanao, that we have with us as well.
Now, can you tell me what kind of difference it makes for these whānau to have somewhere stable to live for that period of 12 weeks and to have a bit of awhi and a bit of support around them?
It makes a huge difference, because there's a huge difference when, especially when they have to come into the motels. They don't have to go and get their weekly quotes to stay in this motel that they're in if they're with us. That means that they don't have to do that side of things. However, there is the other side, their obligations that they have to adhere to continue to search themselves to look for a home. And if they do find something, then we're there to either take them along to have a look at a home viewing in a private rental sector, or we're there to help them or awhi them concerning their Housing New Zealand applications, that they, the assessments that they may have already done with MSD Housing Line, the 0800 line there, or the interviews that they may take place there. But in saying that, just knowing that they've got supports in place really helps our family. They feel encouraged, I think they do, yeah.
To stabilise their living circumstances and then empower them so they can make positive choices.
Very much so, yeah. And that's what it's all about, is that empowerment and the services that we have to embrace them with, yeah.
We're a mainstream organisation on the whole, but we have a strong connection to Māori practice, kaupapa Māori practice. So there's a component of our services that adhere to kaupapa Māori. So it's part and parcel of some of our principles, the organisation itself. So we have a cultural arm and a training that's provided for practising with kaupapa Māori values. So that's our takarangi program that all our staff get to go on, yeah, and train with. So, yeah, in terms of that, but our housing team, of course, is... We're right in the midst of it with Te Tai Whenua or Here Tainga. So, yeah, it's really cool.
Must be awesome working with whānau and just seeing their journey that they're on, particularly when you, you know, get to the point where they're seeing better outcomes for their family.
Oh, it's awesome. I love it, you know, especially when you've seen families stuck in the motels for certain periods of time. And as one of our kaumātua mentioned from the Here Tainga, Te Tai Whenua, says that the person was very happy just to cook a meal on an oven. So, you know, so they've been trapped in these places for that time, and now they've got found a home for them to stay in, and just to cook a meal for their family, the basic necessities of life meant a lot to them. So even that, and just hearing those things is really cool. At the end of the day, we've still got to be positive. This is the roles that we're in and the job that we have, to have that positive attitude so that they can see that in us, and so that, you know, we don't want to give up on them.
James Liva, nō kahungunu, is the Contract and Business Development Manager at Te Tai Whenua o Here Tainga. We met James outside a new 10-unit development in Marainui, a neighbourhood in Napier that has traditionally been characterised by its high concentration of state housing.
This particular project here was a Housing New Zealand initiative, and what's really exciting about this is they really looked at the waiting list, and knowing that we had some of the hardest people to house are your individuals or your solo parents of one child, because they're such a low ranking with Housing New Zealand. There's just no one beddies in Hawke's Bay. So this was a really good initiative to show, and we've got demand already, and we're moving whānau on. So what's exciting about this is that we looked at the research, we're able to build to it, and then we're able to provide our wraparound Te Whare Huakina services to this area, to a vulnerable community, and or a segment of our community, and that's pretty exciting about what they are. And they look beautiful. They're a beautiful place. So there's 10 one-beddies, 54 to 56 square metres, and that's cool because they're a large space and in a communal environment where they're starting to kōrero together. So we're starting to do some clever things. So we're going to put a barbecue table out here, a bit of a gazebo, and maybe a kids' playground, but we're still yet to sort that one out. But yeah, really cool community, high vulnerable needs, looked at the numbers and it made sense.
The 10-unit development is the latest project to be delivered by Te Tai Whenua o Here Taonga in partnership with Emerge Aotearoa.
So the name Te Whare Huakina came from our pōtikanga, and it's around that kupu matua huakina and that whakatauke huakina te tātua te whare, open the door to the house. And for us, it wasn't really about Te Whare Huakina being a physical, one physical location or house. It's around a philosophy of working. And it's really about huakina te tātua te whare, open the door to the house, open the door to a warm, dry and safe home, but really about opening the door to a better opportunity for whānau and helping them forward. And that's the exciting part, is that we've been given the chance and to help whānau at a really vulnerable time in their life to get ahead, and that's the exciting part, I think. And the warm, dry home and having a beautiful whare and those things, it's fantastic and it's absolutely essential, but I think it's secondary to the navigator and having the social support and seeing the difference that they can make and help whānau articulate quite hard world to go into, to WINS and MSD, Housing New Zealand, health providers and other sort of agencies. It's a hard world to work in, and our whānau, having someone to go along with them to support them side by side, we're noticing that's the major play. The whare really is just a vehicle for us to be able to engage, and that's exciting for us. Building houses is cool, and it's without whakieting it, it's easy. It's really simple to build a house. These were built in 6 weeks, you know, at a fairly significant money, but not insurmountable. But it'll be hopeless without the navigators and the social support. I reckon the social support's crucial, because then let's move them on to their own houses. And we just haven't seen that social support like we've done. And I think that's what's exciting about emergency housing, which is quite different to social housing settings, is that we're finally being recognised for the social support that we've all been doing for years and years, but finally we've been actually picked up for something. Sure, it could always be more, but at least it's something, and it's a nod towards it, and a nod for tenancy management. Some good, really good examples, I think, of three right off the bat. We had three different whānau coming into Te Whare Huakina. One dad come in, a dad and a 16-year-old boy, and they come into a house and his boy had respiratory diseases and he'd been really suffering with asthma. And he came into this whare, and what he saw is he saw the HRV, the air filter, he saw the heat pump and stuff like that. And for him, he was like really excited to get through winter and have his boy not presenting as much at A&E. And what was really cool was that after being in the house a month, he was able to attend rugby practice. He was in the second 15 and he managed to sit on the bench for the first 15, and then that's when they won the Nationals last year. So this boy was able to attend practice, go along, have the opportunity to then get play for the first and just have a better outlook. So for that dad, it was about the HRV and having a warm, dry home. And the other example I think of, which is similar, it's another dad and he had five kids under five. He lived in a motel and it didn't have a kitchen. Five kids under five. He'd living in this motel 3 months, no kitchen. He moved into a house, and it's a beautiful house, like a really beautiful house. It's our best home, a very, very large three-bedroom home, big backyard and a really, really nice part of Napier. And what got us for him is he walked in the house and the first thing he looked for is he looked for the stove. And he looked in and he saw the pots and pans. And for him, all he wanted to do was cook his family a Sunday meal. And he was actually a chef on a cook when he was a young fella. So for him, kai was important and sitting around the table. So for him, the room and the neighbourhood was really fancy, but he wanted the kai. And I think that's the other sort of stories that we're hearing and coming out. And then the third one is straight out of a motel. This one's exciting, because a mummy was living in a motel for around a year waiting for a house to come up, and she was on the wait list, and sure enough, but what she didn't realise was that she had some unfulfilled obligations with housing. So we got with her, whanangatanga, catched up with her, really built some trust, and then we supported her with getting her housing application reassessed. We pretty quickly realised that she had some obligations that she needed to do, and she had to present some evidence. So we went away, it took about a week to get that stuff. We called back, resubmitted it. Her housing criteria went from a low A to a high A, like A15, A16, and then she got a call like 3 days later and got a home. So she'd been living in a motel, unfulfilled obligations. We met with her and within 3 weeks we supported her to just find a home. And that's not any magic bullet or we're not pulling any fantastic things out. It's just a very normal process. Housing application, Housing New Zealand home, but just who are walking along. And we're hearing those sort of stories often and frequent. So.
And taking the time to get to know these whanau and understand their needs and priorities.
For sure, and I think that's where we're, Te Whare Huakino works in a whanau order way, where we're trying to get together and first things first is to know your name, sit down with you, understand your whanau, have a cup of tea, relax and settle. Me whakatau if they want it, and sometimes it's not appropriate. I mean, just settle in, and then after a couple of weeks, then go and write a plan, then go and figure out what we need to do, go and do the steps that you need to do to get yourself along with still aspirations. So in your whanau order plan, it might be about getting a house, but really it's about moving on to getting something better, because as soon as I got their home, what's next, what's next, what's next? So our housing navigators, our social workers are just fantastic in the way they work with our whanau and emergency housing.
Awesome. Now, I'm wondering, like you said earlier, that, you know, the emergency housing is important, but it's not the end game. So where do you see this kind of fitting into the bigger picture?
For Te Whenua Hira Taunga, and Emerge Aotearoa, it's a great first step. For Te Whenua, we're wanting to build our presence in social housing, and it's a board and one of the pau of the board for us to move forward. And I think this is the first, a really, really good step for us to learn some internal capacity and get some skills and build our infrastructure so that we're able to progress on and do things at a larger scale. Going from a couple of social homes or a couple of social places to much larger in the hundreds could be a step too far. So this is a really good chance for us to build internal capacity internally. So that's us internally looking in. So if we look out the window, I think there's probably a chance for us to use our networking internally in Hawke's Bay to look at understanding where the housing stock is better, more intimately, on a more street-by-street nature, so we can understand where whānau fit in best, who those whānau are, who those whānau are. And we've got aspirations for building as well, but that's further along the continuum, I guess.
How did this partnership with Emerge come about?
So Te Whare Huakina is fantastic. So we applied through the normal ITP that MSD put out for emergency housing. And we're really focused on vulnerable teenage mums. So we have the second highest Māori pregnancy rate in the country. And then we have really high homelessness rate with our young parents and our young and our neat in our rangatahi space. So we really identified that as being a high priority. Concurrently, while that's happening, like all good relationships, our CE met up with a board member of Emerge in the Kuru Lounge, where all good relationships start. And as they got going and they got talking, we saw there were some real alignments there. So we stepped down a level, and then I started talking with their team, and we said, actually, there's some real benefits and strengths that we can each bring. We identified some areas that we needed to improve on at Te Whenua, and I think Emerge identified some areas that they perhaps needed some help. So it was a really good synergy for us to both leverage each other's strengths and then come together in a quite a unique arrangement, where Te Whenua are the lead contract holders and we subcontract off Napier Properties for Emerge. And it's worked, and it's working really, really well. We're able to work together as a team to look at the bigger picture.
When I was speaking to Jo earlier, I asked, you know, is Emerge a kaupapa Māori organisation? She's like, well, no, it's not, but a lot of, you know, we bring a lot of that with us into the organisation as staff, and also just the way of working is informed by that a lot. But she said it's a bit different working with the Te Whenua Hira Taunga, because they rely more heavily on the Te Whenua's way of doing things. So can you talk a little bit more about how that works?
Yeah, so Te Whenua is definitely a kaupapa Māori organisation, instilled and ingrained from right back 32 years ago, and we've adopted all of those more tiatia, whakatau kia, to bring it in, but really it's driven from our core values. So whanaungatanga, kaitiakitanga, kotahitanga and whakamana is used as not only values but sort of guiding pau. So when we're getting together, is that going to align with it? And that's almost a decision-making tool.
Bringing yourself back.
Bringing yourself back, and if it can hit one, that's okay. If you can hit two values, that's good, but really you should be trying to hit all four all the time, and that keeps you authentic and keeps you in check, really. So it's really a traffic light, a guiding pole for us in the way we work. And then that kaupapa Māori is lived in an authentic way. And sure, we need to keep progressing and upgrading and skilling ourselves. And I think perhaps that's where we provide our uniqueness to the housing crisis here in Hawke's Bay, is through our kaupapa Māori values. So.
Now, the other thing I wanted to ask about, before you were saying, you know, how are we preempting some changes that are coming? How are we looking towards the future? What could we be doing differently?
What a fascinating discussion today, the day that Minister Twyford released the report and around about how we're looking future-proofing. Because let's be honest, emergency housing is fantastic. It's happening right now, but perhaps it's not the full-time solution. I think we can all agree with that. But what it's really surprising, not surprising, but what's fascinating for me is that are we having those higher level discussions around are we ready for a changing demographic? Are we ready to start looking at an ageing, healthier, wealthier population that we've ever seen? Hawke's Bay's got the third oldest population in the country, you know, with a medium Māori population. How are we having those conversations? And by 2030, we're going to have ethnic Asian population outnumbering our Pacifica population. We're going to have Māori with a new identity, you know. How's a new Kiwi going to look? And are we positioning ourselves as Tai Whenua? And are we positioning ourselves as whānau water providers to a new-looking rangatahi, to a new-looking environment? And not only in how the whānau look, because those rangatahi in 13 years aren't going to be migrants. They're going to be children of migrants who are marrying into kaupapa Māori whānau. And their children are going to have whakapapa lines. So are we set? Are we ready? Are we mature enough to have those conversations? And that's fascinating. But it's also a good vehicle to talk about other things. Are we thinking even in design? So that's around whānau, but are we talking in design? Meth's a good one. Are we positioned to handle meth rather than a stick mentality? Are we using carrots to be proactive before meths? Are we 5 years ago, warm, dry, and condensation-free was the be-all and catch-all of everything? But that's normal now and should be normal. It should be absolutely normal about insulation discussions and smoke alarms. We're beyond that. We're way beyond that. We should be having pro-meth discussions and pro-domestic violence discussions and employment discussions at a higher level. And I don't know, I'm optimistic we are, but let's have this discussion more and more and let's keep thrashing it out by using kaupapa Māori philosophies and our current mechanisms like emergency housing, which is really here for everyone to take now and build on it to grow your capacity, I reckon.
What would you do different in the design?
So in physical design, there's some clever things you can do with high infinity areas, easier areas that you can clean, more open planning and fence design. You know, quite quickly, we're always looking at gated communities with cameras. You know, are there other ways that we can use and instill more mixed tenure so that we're getting more community building? That's probably something in some design stuff we're noticing.
Indigenous Urbanism is a production of Te Matapihi. Sandy Wakefield does our sound recording, editing and mixing. Our theme was composed by Thomas Burton. I'm Jade Kake, your host and executive producer. For more information about today's show and other episodes of Indigenous Urbanism, go to indigenousurbanism.net. You can drop us a line at info@indigenousurbanism.net. And if you like what you're hearing, please give us a review or rating on iTunes. Coming up next on Indigenous Urbanism, we speak with Daniel Glenn, an architect from the Crow Tribe of Montana, who leads a firm based in Seattle, Washington, specializing in culturally and environmentally responsive architecture and planning.
We don't have those numbers, so there's very small numbers in urban comparatively to the larger majority population. So what I try to talk about is that we don't have numbers, but we have centuries and millennia of time. So this notion of the weight of time and that presence sort of supersedes the small numbers that we currently have. And say, how can we bring the power of that 10,000 years or 15,000 years of presence to the forefront in our cities?